Hello and welcome to this Tested Expert talk on multilingualism. My name is Marie van der Wiecke and I am joined today by Niels Jeckel, Associate Professor in English Foreign Language Acquisition and Language Pedagogy at the University of Copenhagen. Hello, Niels.
Hey Marie, thank you so much for inviting me.
Could you briefly outline your work for us?
My field of work is broad with regard to foreign language and second language acquisition. I work in mostly in teacher education, where I focus on teachers from primary to secondary school. And within this area, I also conduct my research. So I research in the area of early language learning in primary school, and then leading into secondary school. Multilingualism is one of my focus areas, as well as bilingual education, so including teaching math through English, for example.
You already said that multilingualism is one of your focus areas. What do we mean when we talk about multilingualism?
I think we need to separate here how we perceive this in education and society as a larger context. In education, primary, secondary education, I would say we talk about multilingual learners, so those students that speak another heritage language or home language that they do not usually get support within the educational system for, and who are learning the majority language, German, for example, or acquiring it through exposure in kindergarten and their early years growing up in Germany. For those coming to Germany later on in life, in puberty, for example, there are particular contexts and barriers for them to navigate. So for that reason, I would want to separate both education and society as a larger context.
You have worked already in many different countries, from Denmark to the USA, UK, Finland, and Germany, of course. Did you experience differences in approaching multilingualism and dealing with multilingual learners in schools in teacher education?
Absolutely. I think ultimately there is a cultural lens in every country how we approach things and how we value a multilingualism as well, or multiculturalism. I think in the European context I've worked in, every context provides some level of heritage language support. So students can get additional support in developing their reading and writing skills in their first language, their home language. And from that perspective, I think that's also been shown to help develop majority language literacy skills, as well as lead to potential positive effects on learning additional languages afterwards. My experience in the US was so that the stronger focus was set on English as a second language development, and not so much at a point where heritage language support was provided. And I think that this is something that I really appreciate in the European context, that this stronger focus on heritage language development has been prioritized in many contexts. From a perspective on teacher education, I think more and more we see modules being integrated into bachelor and master programs that highlight the importance on understanding how languages are learned. A math teacher, for example, is also a language teacher from my perspective, because they teach specific mathematical language and discourse. So they also need to understand that their students may be majority language learners and haven't learned or acquired the language through their natural context at home, but have other language skills. And therefore, this integration into the curriculum for teacher education is an important aspect throughout Europe. And it also kind of leads to this European spirit of valuing language education and speaking multiple languages.
Now you've already attacked some of the topics I also want to talk to you about in this expert talk, but you already started to discuss how content teachers could maybe deal with multilingual learners. But I just want to go back one step and ask, What is central to teacher training on the topic of multilingualism, in your opinion?
I think it's exactly this understanding of integrating a language-aware perspective in content teacher education, that they are language teachers for their specific area. The vocabulary we use, grammatical constructs we might employ, differ to some extent. So we need to be aware of this, and that we teach as a chemistry teacher, for example, we teach how we describe an experiment. That is not necessarily something that the German teacher can pick up, because they're focused on developing German literature skills and writing skills that are more general to some extent. So that specific skill might need to be focused on from a chemistry teacher perspective. I think also it's important to understand cultural differences. Within a multicultural context, there are a lot of benefits, but also some potentials for friction. And I think understanding how to navigate these contexts is important for every teacher as well, to ensure that everyone feels safe, that they can learn to the best they can, because the teacher creates that environment for them to thrive in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's also central is early integration into practica in schools, and a very close connection to the university, in the sense that there is kind of a practice research or practice teacher education feedback loop to see what's working in schools and what does the university aim to achieve with these practica, so that in the end, everyone feels that they're getting the best out of this experience. And that's why we need teachers to learn in multilingual school contexts on how to navigate this early on.
Mm-hmm. You already are talking about evidence-based practices. From your research, what would be good evidence-based practices to integrate learners with different heritage languages in the classroom? Are there maybe specific means to help language acquisition?
I think it's not easy to give one specific answer to this, because with heritage language speakers, we also have different levels of majority language proficiency. So how well a student speaks the majority language affects how their needs may be best met with differentiated practices in classrooms. Maybe the texts need to be adjusted for some students, whereas for others, they might not need an adjustment or any other means of support. So I think for newcomers into the country, it's important to quickly to be integrated into their future classroom context, even though they're German in Germany might not be perfect yet. It's still in development, because it's also important for social integration and for an opportunity for students to feel that they have a sense of, develop a sense of belonging, because that's from a psychological perspective most important in thinking about how do we learn best. We don't learn best if we feel that we don't belong, where we feel anxious to go to a context where we don't know anyone. But at the same time, I think exposure, or maximizing exposure and the potential for participation in the majority language, is important as well. And this needs to be kind of worked into our classrooms as well, to allow everyone to participate at the language level that they are able to do this. At the same time, I do think that very targeted language classes for students with kind of different levels of heritage language proficiency is important, so that they get targeted support that content teachers may not feel comfortable providing. So it's not specific individual activities. I think it's more of a systematic development of a structure to support learners within classes, but also outside of the classroom. And ultimately, practices such as reading at home are really important to facilitate this faster integration from a language perspective into society as well.
Talking about this very fast integration into the classroom, this of course would require quite a lot of diagnostic skills from the teachers and also dealing with learners in the classroom with very different levels of language, potentially, and also other heritage languages, which are also then on different levels, which I can imagine would be quite challenging for teachers. Are there practices that could maybe help teachers or the learners in class to deal with these different levels of language?
I think really a good practice there is team teaching. In the US in particular, their ESL teachers, English as a second language teachers, were not just teaching their own classes, but they were also co-teaching with content teachers to support students in a math classroom, in a chemistry classroom, to support their learning, to be more targeted and ensuring that the regular class could continue as planned to ensure that content-wise the classroom would be on track, but at the same time ensuring that students with various levels of majority language proficiency would also feel that they're not left behind. And to your point of diagnostic competences, this is also something that we definitely need to consider with regard to a level of standardized testing, also to give students a continuous feedback loop on this is where you are in developing majority language, listening, speaking, reading, writing skills as well. And this can also be passed on to future classroom teachers to say, well, this student is at this level. Please ensure that you provide materials that are suitable for their content development in your classroom. And with newer AI technology, for example, it's quite easy to ask generative AI to change a text to be at a simpler level while maintaining the content. And I think we don't want to differentiate content. We want to ensure that progression there continues. So we need to ensure that the language is accessible for our students. And we also need to recognize that they may bring English skills, for example, into the classroom. And that may be another source of ensuring that they understand the content by providing translations that otherwise a teacher might not be able to accommodate easily.
Now, you've already said standardized assessments, and you talked a little bit about generative AI. Could you maybe suggest resources or places where teachers could find materials for their lessons?
So for the integration of second language speakers and learners, one website that I've used a lot in the past is ColorinColorado.org. It's an American website focused on ESL teachers, and they have a wonderful set of resources that can easily be adapted to the German context as well. They're very much focused on content-based language learning. So ensuring that content progression continues while we develop the language skills necessary as well. I think on the side of generative AI, this could be one area where we can use these tools to our advantage to ensure that we can provide similar content using AI to change the text so that the teachers don't feel overwhelmed in providing four different, six different, however many different versions of a text. And technology can take a big role in supporting teachers in doing this type of job as well.
Now, maybe looking forward, what, in your opinions, are big challenges that should be tackled in the future when talking about multilingualism in teacher education?
I think what's definitely really important is representation on the teacher side to have multilingual teachers in our classrooms. And I know this is happening, and it's a gradual process in many contexts. Obviously, being a teacher needs to be attractive for everyone, so that's important. Considering multilingualism, I think continuously developing, further strengthening heritage language background will be important and needs to be a priority in ensuring literacy skills, which is also an asset to society. So thinking about a return of investment, but at the same time, we need to realize that maybe we need to offer heritage languages as foreign languages as well for German speakers, for example. And in some ways, some schools may offer them already, but this is still quite limited and might be something worthwhile considering as well to broaden our perspective beyond a very, very much English-focused foreign language context in many European countries, to be honest. And I think the cultural aspect is the other side that we need to take into consideration and ensuring that we create culturally safe environments for our students where they can thrive, where learning to live in a multicultural society and seeing the benefits of it is really important for the next generations early on.
Thank you for joining us today and for this insightful exchange. Of course, we will leave over all of the links and information in the show notes. And if you are interested in more content on multilingualism and other important cross-cutting issues in teacher education, like digitalization, democratic education, sustainability, or gender and sexual diversity, you can find material on our homepage, tested-network.eu, or follow us on Instagram at testednetwork. Goodbye, Niels.
Thank you very much for having me.